Will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Got my war outfit on today. Put on my camo. Feel like going to war here today. And started out this morning when I got up. You know, I got up in a lighthearted mood. I was up a little bit early today. Went to bed early. So I'm not complaining. You know, I go to bed at 9 and I'm up at 5. That's 8 hours sleep. So people don't feel bad for me. They say, man, he gets up early. I go to bed early. So it's good. It's all good. And I woke up in a lighthearted. I said, man, you know, the last 2 weeks, you would agree with this, wouldn't you? The last 2 weeks of this show have been unbelievable. It gets like more and more intense all the time. I want to pull back, just got to take a breath, say, wow, flea flicker Friday. Whoo! But there's some stuff, man. It's just some stuff. We're going to try to do a little bit of that today. But, you know, it's hard to laugh when there ain't nothing to laugh about, if you know what I'm saying. So, listen, I appreciate all of you out there. I appreciate every email I get. I appreciate every text message I get. I appreciate every phone call I get. I do my best to try to catch up and get back and touch bases. And I told Michelle, I said, man, listen, I'm not complaining. Okay. Continue sending them. It's coming from so many different directions. And we have really, really tapped into something with the heart of men and what men are hungry for. And, praise the Lord. But here, listen, guys, here's where we need some help. We got to bear one another's burden. We got to help each other. I'm going to call Todd Barham. I heard from Todd here this morning. Todd's laying in the hospital in I think he's in Houston. I told him I was going to call. Let's get him on here. You know, Todd has, well, I'll let him tell us what's going on.
Hello.
Todd, God bless you, man. Listen, I got you on the speakerphone here on the show.
Okay.
Just want you to know, brother, that we got you. We're covering you in prayer. We've got people that are fasting for you right now. Todd, as quickly as you can, what the heck's going on, man? Can you help us?
Yeah, so it's a spiritual battle, Coach. So I was in prayer all night last night and asked the Lord to show me what was going on. And he opened my eyes and I could see the battle that's happening here. And the devil is trying to cut off the head. And it's a battle for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it all started, I don't know, a few days ago where I got a cold. Lexi had a cold. I got a cold and I had a knee problem. And then, I went to the doctor to address the knee problem and they looked at my blood count and it was way off based on the condition. And so they did a biopsy and they found out that I had leukemia. So I don't have enough immune system to fight the infections off, and so they are working right now, well, I think incompetently, but they are working to try to address the infection and get it under control.
Did you hurt your knee? What was the sign that there was an infection in you?
I don't remember hurting my knee. It's an internal thing. I didn't even cut it. So, I have no idea what was going on with the knee, but the knee is spreading down my entire right leg and up my side now. So.
And so what, it's crazy as this sounds, what's their plan, Todd? What they doing with you for you?
Well, they want to put me on chemo right away, but, you know, they can't put me on chemo and destroy my immune system with an active infection.
Right.
So, they're trying to, which I'm not going to do chemo, by the way. So they're trying to, find ways to kill the infection, get it under control.
Well, we know who can do that, don't we, Todd?
Absolutely.
I mean, you believe
this is a test.
You believe that, don't you, Todd?
Absolutely. So this is the test of faith, Coach. I always said, after watching Henry Gruber, I said, man, I want the faith of Henry Gruber. And I've been praying for that. And so you have to watch what you pray for, because you might get tested on it.
Yeah.
So this is clearly a test for that as well. So the interesting thing is that last night I can feel the infection spreading up my side. And I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, look, I know I want the faith of Henry Gruber. This is my test, and I'm going to deliver. And so I prayed, and I just prayed against the spreading of the infection. And as soon as I prayed, I can feel the infection go back down to the knee.
Amen.
So it's a test of faith, too.
Amen. Todd, David Arthur posted in the chat here. I'm going to read this prayer that David Arthur put up on there, Todd. And I want you to know, brother, that we have people specifically directing a fast on your behalf. We have those who are in prayer for you, those who want to speak with you. We don't want to burden you. We don't want to bother you. But know that we have your back, brother, and we're doing all that we can. And I dressed in my camo today because we're going to war for you today, Todd. And so I just want to pray this prayer that David Arthur posted in the chat. It says, Dear Lord, Father of all that is good and creator of the universe, you are the author of its laws. You can bring the dead back to life, can heal those who are sick, you can cast out demons into oblivion. You can grant freedom, health, life, and life more abundantly. We come to you humbly, praying for our brother Todd, that he may feel your hand upon him, renewing his body and refreshing his soul. Touch him, O Lord. Show to him the affection to which you hold all your creatures. We lift up Lexi and Leslie and the children and everyone associated with it, Lord. We come against anybody who would come in and speak death to Todd. We come against that in the name of Jesus, and we speak life into that body. And Lord, we give you permission to do what you want to do in the life of Todd. And we stand and we hold up his arms and we support him and we love him. And we just look for your miracle deliverance in the life of Todd Barham. In Jesus' name, amen. We're praying for you, brother.
God bless. Amen. God bless. Hey, Coach, I'd like to say, I was able to watch your show yesterday, and it was such a blessing. And Dale, when Dale said that prayer, I don't know what it was. It was just an amazing thing that I could just feel the Lord upon me. And it was just very special. So I'm going to keep encouraging people to pray.
Amen. We are, brother. We are praying for you. And Todd, by the way, you are developing the faith of Henry Gruber, brother.
I'm going to win, Coach.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are, buddy. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Yeah,
God bless.
Yeah,
bye.
Right. Wow, huh? Good prayer there, David. Good prayer there. dude's fighting for his life. So we just need to stand in agreement. Hey, anybody got anything? David, great prayer there, by the way, David. Great prayer. Anybody, come on in here.
Coach, I recognize it. It truly is not only a spiritual warfare, but the Bible identifies it. It's a spirit of infirmity. It's
Amen,
real simple.
Brother. It's a
you know,
spirit.
So we identify. And it says, when the thief is revealed, Proverbs chapter 5 and 6, I mean, it says that the thief, when he is revealed, must pay back sevenfold. So I believe that there will be a healing, a sevenfold measure coming back into Todd's body.
Amen. Folks, listen to me. I'm just telling you this. I believe this into the bottom of my tan shirt. This attack, I'm reading the word here. I have a Bible in front of me. This is a demonic attack. We have to be careful. We're praying for Todd's healing, but this is a deliverance. I believe it in the very bottom of my stomach that we need to pray that he will be delivered from this, that this spirit of infirmity will be gone in Jesus' name. I pray for healing, although healing will be the result of it. This is a spirit of infirmity that's come upon Todd. And we just break that power in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So those of you who are fasting today, you know who you are. Fasting all weekend, you know who you are. Your brother stands in need. And I just pray that you continue to hold him up and lift him up. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Coach, it's a multi-pronged demonic attack, and we have to respond in kind.
Amen. And he can't do it alone.
No.
He listen to this one then. I get this one yesterday from the young guy we spoke about yesterday that his family's broken, and people have called him. let me stop here and ask this. Feel like Dr. Phil again. Are you regularly calling guys in the queue? Are you regularly calling and encouraging people in the queue? Are you developing relationships outside this 1 hour? Because you need to. We all need to do that. And there are connections that will be made supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. You'll connect with a guy that nobody else connects with. And I'm asking you that. I think some of you ought to, thank you, Lord, you ought to make at least 3 calls a day to a brother. Because there are a lot of guys dealing with a lot of stuff. So I got this from his text message. Came on my phone. Says, sorry, I didn't get back. I called him yesterday. Sorry, I didn't get back to you. No, I'm actually not sorry. Why do we talk like that? I was shoveling snow. I got my camper all set up, keeping my head up. Thanks for encouraging me on the phone. Watched your show on the tube on my tablet this morning. Never used a tablet before. I always listen to the podcast, but this morning God put me in the game. I was at the DMV. That's hell in itself, isn't it? Was 45 minutes late. The DMV was 45 minutes late opening, and the crowd of people gathered had nothing better to do than listen to your show on my tablet. I couldn't have planned it better. Everyone had something to share. Total strangers united over the simple topic of family. I got to share my story in this gospel. There was laughter, sadness, regret, and even a heckler who was loving and uneasily refuted. I then met our new pastor for breakfast and shared my heart with him. Then I was off to the courthouse for no other reason but to get to know people, to just share my struggles with them. I even got to know my little old neighbor. I'll spare you the other half of my day. I felt higher than I ever did on any drug. It's real. No deception. I love you all. Love my Lord more. In a few minutes, I'll be having the sweetest sleep in years. Thank you, Coach, for putting yourself in place where God so mightily has been able to use you. So listen, he is has struggled with addiction. All right. Keeps falling back into addiction. And is there anybody in the queue who has struggled with that, who would be willing to pray for our brother right now? Anybody said, yeah, Coach, I fought that beast. I'd be glad to do that. I'm waiting.
Coach, here I am, brother. Here I am. Man, let me tell you what. The only struggle that I pray this brother now would release is that he has an addiction to Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I lift him up to you right now, and I pray that his hunger and thirst will turn from the addiction of drug to the greatest drug of all, and that is the love of Christ. And I pray that he would grow deeper and deeper. And Lord, it says in Hebrews 1:7 that he would make his ministers pillars of fire. Lord,
amen.
Set him on fire. Let him burn for the world to see. I pray that that hunger will grow every day. And Lord, that he would fuel the fire with your word and your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So let it be written. So let it be done. Listen, I'm going to give you a word for the Lord right now. Going to give you. If you're born again of the Spirit of God. Do you hear me? If you are born again of the Spirit of God, if you've received Christ, if you've put on Christ, I want you to know that there is no power that is able to hold you. No power. is you are going to have to make a decision. You have to quit making excuses, and you're going to have to make a decision. I am going to get victory over this in the name of Jesus, whether it be anger, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be food, whatever it would be, whether it be pornography, whatever it is. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, listen now, he's a God of free will, and he will not overrule your desire. If the desire of your heart is to turn on that computer and look at pornography, he isn't going to stop you. Now, he's going to give you a way out, but you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to follow Christ. That's what you're going to have to do. And to follow Christ doesn't mean you walk an aisle and say a prayer and it's all okay from now that you're following Christ, because your life is a journey. You're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But here's what you got to do. You got to follow him. He's walking that path ahead of you, and you can't cut off and go down another path just because you're feeling depressed or somebody said something to you. You cannot be ruled by your emotion. Your emotions, as our friend Chad would say, will betray you. There is no temptation that has come upon you but that which is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand, but with the temptation will provide a way out. Now, here's the truth. You're going to have to take it. He ain't going to make you take it. There's some things that you don't have to be delivered from. There's some things that you just got to man up and say, no, through the power of the Holy Spirit. No, I ain't doing that anymore. God's a miracle worker, but he don't always work miracles. You understand that?
He's
a miracle worker, but he don't always work miracles. Sometimes you got to work out your own salvation. You say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and have not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. But however, you may have to get a shovel and dig that mountain out. That mountain just ain't going to disappear. Whatever it is, whatever's holding you and got its clamps in you and has held you for like a generation, break that thing off and move forward and confront it and get victory over. Amen.
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 You're free, man. Quit going back and asking the Lord to set you free. Whom the Lord makes free is free indeed. Walk in liberty. Walk in it. You got to walk in it. He ain't going to walk for you. You have to make that decision. That's some good preaching right there, boys. Good preaching.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
It's what you said there is so true, because, you know, there's a gentleman, a pastor by the name of Dr. Ted Roberts, who has a ministry to men, and he talks about how he had an addiction, sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. And he said the easiest thing to pray against was deliverance from alcohol and things like that. Wow. But he said the hardest one was that one. He said the Lord had to guide him through it and walk him through it, and that's exactly what you said there. So you're right on. You hit the nail right on the head.
Hey man, I'm going to tell you, I've been around long enough to know this. Those pop-up ads come across my computer. Let me tell you something. There's a conversation that goes on in my head. You know what I'm talking about. And you can either click or you can not click. And you know right away when that voice comes, tells you to click. You know right away that other voice says, nope. And so you got to make a decision to which voice you're going to hear. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, I always, you know, listen, brother, I got delivered from that probably 30 years ago. And the fact of the matter is those pictures are somebody's daughter. And, when you look at that and say, that could be my daughter, that should turn your eyes away. Job says this, that I have trained my eyes unto righteousness. Brother, let me tell you what, men need to train their eyes under the things of the Lord. In other words, don't let that bird nest in your hair. He might fly over and try to sit on it. You got to shoo him off, man. You got to train your eyes unto righteousness.
Amen. See,
the Lord ain't going to cast out what he's already set you free from. You got to walk in it. You got to man up and say no.
Hey, Coach.
Vinny. Hang on one second, Vinny. I learned a long time ago. Whatever you feed grow stronger.
Right.
And whatever you starve dies. You got some starving you got to do, brothers. You got some stuff in your life that you got to starve. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, so I want to say, first of all, that this show, David Arthur's show, should be on TV. All right? Really? Okay? But now, second of all, I would like to advise all the mothers and fathers out there, please don't let your sons and daughters set off to Hollywood to go become famous, because they're never going to become famous. They're never going to become famous. All they're doing is joining Baphomet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Don't do it, people.
Also this, we know that it's a good stuff that goes on there. And our kids, our adults aren't even trained to understand the wiles of the devil. It's what we talked about. We don't understand the spiritual game. You know what's even worse? Men don't understand the spiritual game. They can't teach it to their kids because they don't understand the spiritual game. They don't get it. That's part of people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? We don't.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know who Mike Rowe is?
Yes.
Well, he was on a TBN program. I decided to watch it yesterday. He said something that was very profound. He said that, you know, we talk about this generation, but why should we be speaking out against them? We're the ones that trained them.
Right.
We allowed this to happen. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and this is really the result of what we've allowed not to instill in our kids and our children, those things that they need to know. You know, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I'm just like, man, I'm like, Lord, I've got to get this stuff in her because she's going to need it.
She's going to get gonna it. Need it. Well, she's going to get it, right? And yeah. So you mentioned something, Paul, and the Holy Spirit just pecks my shoulder. You know, I'm telling you, I wish sometimes he could be inside me. Because I'm thinking about, you're talking about micro, and then you're talking about, you know, whether it be TBN or whether it be pick the Christian show.
Yeah,
they don't put manly men on. When's the last time you watched a TBN show where some guy, some wild-haired, wide-eyed guy got on there screaming and hollering about abortion, the slaughter of unborn children, and how we got to stop it? They soft soap it all. See, they will not. Even our Christian ministries will not unleash the lion of the tribe of Judah that dwells inside a man. Even they want to be lion tamers. And so as a result, men don't get to see men on Christian programs. Like my buddy said to me, I'd like to come. I consider, he's dead by the way now, I consider being a Christian coach, but I don't want to lose my balls.
Amen.
Huh?
You're right on. You're right on. I just happened to see him say that, and I just thought that was interesting. I don't really watch it. I just was turning through the channels.
I wasn't making fun of you, brother.
No, I knew you weren't. I knew you weren't. It's just interesting, but that's true. I mean, I don't hardly watch any Christian TV anymore. I don't. Now that I turn it because it's like, they're not, it's just a different gospel.
Well, Paul, it's even this show. Vinny just said it, right? How many of you have referred this show to somebody and they watch it about 30 seconds and they say, oh, I can't stand that guy. All he does is yell, right? I mean, right? All he does is yell. They go to football games, coaches yell, fans yell, everybody yells, yell, 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 yell. Turn to a basketball game, and there's a basketball coach walking up down the sidelines, yelling to referees, yeah, yeah, go. Oh, there's a Christian man. Oh, he's yelling. Oh, he's yelling.
hey, Coach, I, you know what? I think of the prophets in the Old Testament. None of them had a lot of friends. They were saying things that weren't very popular, and they didn't have many friends. Oh, well, you're in good company, you know.
Jesus only had 12 of them, and they all left me, right? So
that's what I'm saying. Hey, Coach. They want to be popular.
We're in good company. Yeah.
What you ought to do is you ought to put a caveat on the show, just like, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to say about his show. You know, listen to it for about a week. Give yourself some time. You know, I don't.
Yes.
You know, listening to this might be dangerous to your
hazardous to your health. That's
your religion.
Right. It might grow on you. My growing.
Hey, you bring up a good point, though. We've been so conditioned that, you know, when somebody hears a real man, they're not used to it. They can't accept it.
No. Now, listen. Hey, Glenn, these same guys that you would go to a Ohio State football game with and scream and holler and hoot every time they call a score a touchdown, those same guys will tell you, okay, you're not supposed to be calm here for the Lord. Yeah. Don't be so aggressive, right? Don't cheer so much for Jesus, right?
Well, yeah, here's the other thing. If you were silent during the football game, they'd think you were weird.
Yeah, what's wrong with him? He didn't sat there, right? Yeah, I hear you. So let me show you something. This is kind of comical, although I don't mean it to be, although I don't want to turn off. Jared, play that video that we've watched in the queue here a couple times of this tranny man, right? And I said, this guy goes, for those of you who don't know, maybe you've seen it. I'm sorry. It's only a couple minutes. This guy goes into a store and he's a woman. Somebody calls him sir. The guy behind the counter calls him sir. Well, he's a woman, right? Now, he goes off, as you're going to see, uses foul language, okay? Cover your ears. Uses foul language. Why didn't somebody step up and say, hey, listen, dude, you are sick. Get out of here. You're sick. Quit poisoning the rest of us. No, we just sit back and watch him do it. Let this poor little guy behind the counter. Well, here's the tranny showing us the love of Jesus. 3 minutes long. Go ahead, Jared.
Excuse me, sir.
There's
a
young
man in here.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I can call the police.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay? Ma'am, once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
I actually said both of you guys.
Right beforehand, you said sir.
Sir?
Motherfucker, take it outside. If you want to call me sir again, I will show you a fucking sir.
I apologize.
Motherfucker.
I apologize.
I need your corporate number because I'm going to call them and talk about how it was misgendered several times in this store.
I apologize.
I need your corporate number now. Well, I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man because quite clearly I am not.
And I apologize. I'm sorry for that, ma'am. I will get you that number. Is that okay?
Yes, get it for me now.
I'm asking to stop.
Get it
cussing.
For me now. I'm not cussing.
Ma'am, I apologize.
You're just going to keep bucking your gums and disrespecting trans people in this store, which I plan on telling the entire LGBTQ community. You're going to lose money over this.
So why does it matter? It's
okay,
important to use.
See there. Listen. Why don't we show that outrage? That tranny shows that outrage over somebody misidentifying his gender. Why don't we show
hey, Coach,
that? Why don't we
Coach,
show that?
It was his time of the month. I mean, cut the guy some slack. It was his time of the month.
Why don't we show that outrage when they're teaching that crap to our kids? Where's the outrage in the Christian man saying no? Where is our outrage? By the way, Jared, that would be a good word to look up, wouldn't it? Go to Webster's. Outrage.
Well, he's looking that up. I showed it to my mom, Coach. I showed it to her, and I didn't tell her anything about it. And then I asked her, what do you have to say? She said that there's something wrong with that guy, not woman, guy. Left to everyone's offenses, nobody would ever identify that as a woman. I don't care how insane people
why do we let them get away with it? See,
I think we're going to stop. I think we've had enough of it.
Outrage says to treat with violence and wrong, to abuse by rude or insolent language, to injure by rough, crude treatment of any kind. Base and insolent minds outrage men when they have hopes of doing it without a return. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Outrage is expressed rage. Enraged. Somebody said, that enraged me. That means you got mad and you kept it inside. Outrage means you expressed what you feel in your heart. And why is there no outrage from Christian men over what's going on? Can somebody explain that to me? Are Christian men allowed to be outraged?
Yes. Listen, what happened is things got subverted. Once again, they turned, this is semantics. They turned all the terms around. The words don't mean what they're supposed to mean.
Right.
We're supposed to be outraged, not some freak who who dresses in a bunch of pink clothes and insists that he's a woman.
That's right. And demands that we accept him as such.
Amen.
Well, it's all about how you feel. What are you feeling, you know?
Well, Coach.
Well, I'm feeling outraged. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling outraged that they're poisoning our kids with it. Can't be outraged. Got to show the love of Jesus. Well, see, I think sometimes the love of Jesus is outrage. By the way, wasn't it he that went into the temple and flipped over tables? Wasn't that some outrage? Let me ask you this. Did Jesus sin when he did that? Did Jesus sin when he went in the temple and flipped over the tables? Was that sin? Did Jesus sin when he went into the leaders and called them a brood of vipers, whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones and all corruption? Did Jesus sin when he got outraged?
No, he wouldn't have sinned if he kept it all to himself.
It's called righteous anger.
Righteous.
That's what that is.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have that, Paul. Yes.
Dave, can I give you an opinion? Sure. It's amazing. It's amazing why you're talking about this, because while you were talking about it, I was looking up some scripture here in John 6, where Jesus is talking about him being the bread of life. And then he asks these people after they heard about this, he said, "Is this too hard for you?" Now, can you imagine? I mean, it would be nice in the Bible if they put the little inscription, you know, set in anger or set in remorse or whatever. Because I think is what Jesus did a lot of times, and it doesn't show up in the Bible because it's just words. But when you read into it, his anger or whatever, when he said to these people, "What, is this too hard for you? What's the matter with you guys? Can't you take this? I'm telling you the truth. Here's what you need to do. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." Then you go back and you look at John 14, 21 or 23, where Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's drawing him to the Father. So if we follow God's commandments, we're drawn to the Father. So what you're doing, Dave, the attitude that you're using is the same attitude that if the Bible could actually print it out and say, you know, Jesus said this with anger in his voice, Jesus said this with remorse, Jesus said this with this, then we could understand a little bit more who the person of Jesus really is. We don't have that clue because it's just printed words, and we really don't get that idea of the feeling that Jesus had when he was saying those words. It's critical.
Thank you, Matt. Jared, see if you can find out where Jesus cleared the temple. I want to go there a second. Jesus cleared the temple. Now, I want to point something out to you here. For all those sissy men out there with their sissy jeans. John 2, it says. Let's see. I'll keep on down there. And the Jews, and the 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold ox and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Watch this. And when he had made a scourge of small cord, he made a whip. He walked in and he saw what was going on. Hmm. And he did what the Virgin Mary had told him, count to 10 before you react, son. So he goes over and he sits down over on the pew and he's counting to 10 and he's making a whip as he's counting. That's what it says, doesn't it? He made a scourge of the small cord. Then after he got through doing it, he said, "Okay, Lord, am I doing this in the right spirit?" He got him. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold the Holy Spirit. Ah, yeah. And said unto them that sold the Holy Spirit, "Get that crap out of here. Make not my Father's house a house where people come and buy stuff." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And then Jesus, and then his disciples answered the Jews and said unto him, "Why are you acting like this and doing these things? What sign shows thou unto us?" Jesus answers unto them, "Destroy this temple, boys, and in 3 days I'm going to raise this thing up."
Ooh.
Mm. Well, he was calm and collected, wasn't he? Wasn't he?
You know what, Coach? It's not that he hated them men. It's just that he loved the father more.
His fealty was to his daddy. His fealty was. And we watch these guys going around here poisoning children, and we are told we're not allowed to be outraged about it. And it's sad because it tells us in Matthew 7, I think it is, Jared. Let's go right there. Hey, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not telling you. You do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you want to. Where now? I'm in the wrong. I always do that. Maybe it's 11. 6. 7, 4, no. Where does it say it, Dale? Be better for you. They put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the deepest part of the ocean. And allow even one of these little ones. Matthew 18, is it 18? It came to pass when Jesus had made an end. Go back to one, Jared.
I'm having to listen, Coach. I'm on a scaffold 30 feet in the air.
All right, hang on, buddy. And he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except that you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Folks, this ain't heaven. This ain't where you go. Whosoever there shall, verse 4, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whosoever shall one of these little ones that believes in me to be offended, I'm telling you, boys, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck, that he was drowned in the depth of the sea, than to let one little kid that believes in me be exposed to this crap.
Amen, brother.
Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. In other words, if some guy comes in here and he's dressing like a woman and he's acting like a fool, I'm going to deal with it. I think's what he says. I'm going to deal with it, Jesus said. This guy's going to go take this bilge and he's going to go put in the public schools, and Christian men all across America are going to be okay with it? Said, hey, dude, you better get a millstone fit for your neck. You ain't no disciple of mine, you letting that crap go on. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, you nailed it. You got the authority who let the transsexuals into the schools. You got the transsexuals who come in there, both in leadership over the youth.
Right.
There has to be something that comes with authority when you're anointed with authority over people. Remember, people are what God created. And if you're in charge of people, you're in charge of God's creation.
Mm.
Whether you're a parent, whether you're a school teacher, the minute you take authority over people, you become accountable to God to a higher standard.
Amen. And if we don't stand up and speak back against it, who will?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday the new Congress just got sworn in, and in the Northern Virginia district, the tranny representative was elected in Northern Virginia, and at the office they were flying the flag of Virginia and the transgender flag. You're right. It's time we step up and say, no, enough's enough. I mean, it will never end. It will keep going and going and going.
Give it an inch, may take a mile, bro.
If you're waiting for your pastor to do it, he ain't going to do it. He's a sissy. He's teaching a sissy gospel. He got himself a millstone. By the way, I'm going to put something in the chat here. Todd Barnes just texted me and said people are free to call or text. Any encouragement's greatly appreciated. Bear with me a second. I'm going to put Todd's number in the chat here.
Thanks, Coach. And you're right. It is. It's sissy preaching. It's a bunch of sissy nonsense. And the preachers are probably going to hang their own transgender flags after this crap.
Yeah, that's right. They just love everybody. Love, love, love gospel. And I put Todd's number in there.
Love them to hell.
He appealed for encouragement. Right there it was. Love them all the way to hell. Love them all the way to hell. Love them all the way to hell. That's right, brother. That's right. Okay, so I know it's Flea Flicker Friday. I know. Jared, pull my commentary up. I want to get into some things in that commentary I wrote today. Some things I really want to point out to you. Actually, I wrote it yesterday, and I was a day late getting it posted. I told my wife, I said, every time I write, I hate to say this, I feel like I say the same thing over and over, you know, but it's my song. It's my hit song. I guess I keep saying it. Do you have it up there, Jared? I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. Okay. I'm sorry. I pulled a fast one on you, but I want to point out some stuff here that I think is extremely significant here. All right. Somebody come on in while he's getting it up here.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Hey, going back just a minute, I don't know if you're aware or not, but I saw a report yesterday that worldwide 42 million abortions occurred last year.
Leading cause of death.
Right.
Yeah, that was on Breitbart.
If you stop and think about what Jesus just said about the millstone, anybody that believes in him, if anybody harms them, they're in trouble. I pointed this out to somebody one time that, you know, does abortion really fall into that category? And they said, well, no, you can't really. Well, I believe you look at it the opposite way. You take it as serious as it can be. Now, just think all the technology that's changed. Imagine in the future if they're able to communicate with the little babies in the womb. Imagine that they could communicate with them, and they would ask the little baby, do you believe in God? And they would say, look around me. Look where I'm at. I have been created by a God that is just unbelievable. Don't tell me there's no God. I'm looking around at organs and everything else. I'm in this sack and I'm breathing. You tell me there's no God. Now, what they do is they take that baby and they kill him. Jesus said anybody that harms one that believes in him, bad things are going to happen to him. I'm going to tell you what. When that technology finally comes around, we're going to have people shrieking and shirking and hiding and everything else that have been mutilating these babies for years.
Amen.
Look around you. Look around you inside this womb.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Let's go down standing up. That's what I wrote today, and I'm going to read it quickly, okay? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? There you go, Christian. There's a good place for you. Now listen, I want you to follow this because I want you to make a connection here between what a motivational speaker would say to you as compared to what God would say to you and see if the reaction is any different. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I remember having that question asked of me by a motivational speaker when I was in high school. He was doing his best to try to convince us that most people are defeated before they ever get started because they never really thought they could win in the first place. Scroll down, Jared. The World Athletics is a great place to find slogans. And here's a few of them. The body can achieve what the mind can believe. Quitters never win and winners never quit. You can take the dog out of the fight, but you can never take the fight out of the dog. When all is said and done, more is usually said than done. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. I'm sure you could add a few of your own quotes, but the bottom line is your greatest opponent is often yourself. The Bible says it this way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But the common denominator in all the sloganeering is the importance of believing that what you want to achieve really is possible. I used to tell our guys all the time, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. Ultimately, belief propels action. You can tell what a man believes by what he does. In so many ways, Christianity mirrors athletics. Participants love to repeat quotes. Put them up on the wall, put them on their door, put them on bumper stickers about what they claim to believe, but they have very little corresponding action to match what they say. Are you ready for some slogans? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. All power is given to me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. So let me ask you, my fine Christian friends, why don't we believe what he told us? Why have we, despite the evidence to the contrary, so given up hope in this battle for the culture? Remember, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're probably right. Christianity, just like athletic ground, competition is the battleground of the mind. The sad truth is most of Christianity has become convinced that the bad guys are going to win. We win in the end, Coach Dave. I often hear Christians say as if that's some justification for our lousy performance here and now. Although millions of people can quote the Bible, very few are willing to put it into action. Somebody say amen. I'm going to pause. You don't have to. The righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. The book of Proverbs tells us. Can somebody please explain to me why the Christians are the ones running for the hills? Why are the Christians the ones who are begging the government to protect their rights? Is there somehow something wrong with a Christianity that wins now?
Hey, Coach. Yeah. You know, people say that we win in the end. That's a lie. He wins in the end. That doesn't necessarily mean that we win.
Amen, brother. Nothing
to do with us. So as bad as it looks, what if this is simply a valley that we have to walk through? What if the return of Jesus is 50 or 100 or 1,000 years in the future? What if the game really isn't over? What if what you did today really made a difference tomorrow?
Come on.
I believe that 2019 is the most critical year for America in the last 100 years. No amount of human endeavor will overcome the will of God. But what if we are misreading the signs of the time? What if victory in the cultural war was possible today? What if God actually wanted his people to rise up and fight the evil doers? What if the church could end abortion? What if the church could restore marriage? What if God wanted us to end child sex trafficking and the scourge of pornography? What if the righteous were bold? What if we really could do all things through Christ? What if we, with God, all things really were possible? What if God really meant what he said? Have God's people sold God short? I'm reminded of this passage from the inspirational poem, If. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. And often the struggler gives up when he might have captured the victory. And he learned too late when the sun came down how close he was to that golden crown. Sometimes I feel like we're determined to live out pre-written history. Could it be Christians aren't winning because we don't think we can? Let's agree on one thing, boys. It's fourth and goal. We just don't know how much time is left on the clock. Jesus asked us a piercing question, asked his followers, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, not love? Shall he find faith on the earth? What you do shows what you believe. When the trumpet sounds, will Christianity go out with a bang or with a whimper? Hold that line. Occupy till he comes. Let's honor God. What would you do if you knew you couldn't lose? Let's go down standing up. That's it, boys. We don't believe it. We're no different. We're no different than this. We're just sloganeers. We're just sloganeers. We love to quote the Bible, and we love to quote the Bible to make excuse for our defeat. Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach. All the stuff you mentioned in your commentary, none of that stuff's an if in my book.
Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be an if. Shouldn't be. I can tell you this. It ain't an if. Do you think God wants – do you think Jesus Christ, whom we claim to serve, do you think he wants abortion ended? I believe Please. He does. I think he does. I probably think he does. Now, who do we think he thinks is going to do it?
Republicans? Do you think Jesus Christ wants the scourge of transsexualism and gender dysphoria and sexual dysfunction? Do you want? Does he want that taught to our children? I'd say no. I'd say he probably doesn't want to. Well, who does he think is going to do something about it?
That's supposed to be us, brother.
I'm telling you, it baffles me. Now I'm going to show you something. Jared, pull this one up here. I was going to try to be in a lighthearted mood today. Remember I told you that? I lied. Jared, pull up that one. I got this from my buddy Pastor Tom sent it to me this morning. Where is it, Jared? Fetus and vaccine. Pull that up there, Jared. I hope you guys are sitting down. I hope you're sitting down. Shocking confession. Preborn babies. This is January 11th, 2018, a year ago. Preborn babies are harvested for vaccine. Now, I want you to listen to this scientist here, this Stanley Plotkin, MD, and hear the coldness, hardness of his heart. And that's where most scientists are, because they're atheists. Somebody say amen. They're atheists.
Bloody hell.
This guy thinks nothing of chopping up little babies. Listen to this. Go ahead, Jared.
The purpose of this study to help develop a human cell line or to support the use of human cell lines in the creation of vaccines?
The idea was to study the cell strains from fetuses to determine whether or not they could be used to make vaccines.
This study involved 74 fetuses.
Yeah, 76.
76. Mm-hmm. And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any, but a whole range of tissues were harvisted by co-workers.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't do it, though.
These pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland that were chopped up into pieces to,
mm-hmm.
Okay, included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay, included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
Yeah. I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
Are you aware that one of the objections to vaccination by the plaintiff in this case is the inclusion of aborted fetal tissue in the development of vaccines and the fact that it's actually part of the ingredients of vaccines?
Yeah, I'm aware of those objections. Okay. The Catholic Church has actually issued a document on that which says that individuals who need the vaccine should receive the vaccines regardless of the fact. And I think it implies that I am the individual who will go to hell because of the use of aborted tissues, which I am glad to do.
He's glad to do it. Hey, he said, they're saying I'm going to go to hell because what I'm doing with aborted fetuses. And what he say? I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to go to hell. Keep on going.
The individual who will go to hell because of the use of aborted tissues, which I am glad to do.
Okay. Do you know if the mother is Catholic?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But she should consult her priest.
Do you believe that someone can have a valid religious objection to refusing a vaccine?
No.
Consult her priest. There you are, boys. There you are. Hey, listen, let's do this. Let's just love him into the kingdom. He just needs Jesus. Really? How many more little babies is he going to dissect?
He needs to burn.
Put in the vaccination. We have
vaccines. He needs a millstone around his neck.
He needs to burn. So do we. We let it go on. We deserve a millstone. And we wonder why all of a sudden maybe we have transgender and kids are screwed up. Well, they're putting crap into the vaccinations. What do you think, David Arthur? Am I on to something there or not? I don't even know David. Yeah, he's doing it. What do you think, David? Could the vaccinations, could vaccinations with little baby DNA in it screw up somebody's sexual orientation? I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
It's possible.
It's possible. It's possible.
A lot of people don't even realize, Coach, that about 15 years before we even knew about BPA, the synthetic estrogen plastic, they were lining the canned goods with it, and it was seeping into the food. Same thing with all the soy they've been feeding. That's why they give soy to inmates in prison, is because they're feeding the boys estrogen for probably 30 years now, because we knew about BPA about 10, 15 years ago.
Well, we just need to love them, David. We just need to love them into the kingdom.
Well, now you kind of sound like the apostate church.
That's our answer, isn't it? No outrage. Not allowed to be outraged. Don't take the idea of a millstone seriously. We don't worry about that. Because, see, you understand this. The Lord put us here as his ambassadors. He put us here to speak on behalf of him.
Hey, Coach, we got to build the temple, remember?
Got to build the temple. We got to do it, man. Boy, I wish you guys could come. Jared's got a millstone up on there. I wish you guys could come with me for a walk. Mark Trump, next time you're in town, I'm going to take you to see these huge, huge millstones I found out in the middle of nowhere that makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck when you see them. Only got 3 minutes left. Somebody come on in there. Got a new listener. Just email me. So just listen for the first time. Wow.
Hey, Coach. I just put a summary of the list of ingredients from humans that are in which vaccines. So the link's in the chat.
Mark, listen. Hey, Jared, do this real quick, Jared. Go to Webster's and look up cannibalism.
Hey, while he's doing that, hey, Mark, my wife pulled up some information about how fetus tissue was being used in research in some of the Nestle's products, like coffee.
Glenn, by the way, it's hey, Glenn, it's a baby. It's not a fetus.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a sweetener. Nestle.
Yeah.
Nestle, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Yeah. Hey, can you corroborate that, Mark?
Guys, can I discuss you further? Natural flavors, all the put natural flavors in a quote, it's all baby parts.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best. The act of, or practice of eating human flesh by mankind. Murderous cruelty, barbarity. Hey, folks, whether you know it or not, we are in, what is that movie? Soylent Green!
Soylent Green is people!
Anybody remember that? Jared's looking for it. Soylent Green. Soylent, yeah, here it is, 1 minute, 12 seconds. How long ago was this? Go ahead, Jared.
You don't understand. I've got proof. They need proof. I've seen it. I've seen it happening. They've got to tell people.
Tell them what?
The ocean's dying. Plankton's dying. It's people. Soylent Green is made out of people.
They're making our food out of people. Next thing, they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent Breed is people! We've got to stop them!
Soylent Green is people.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The days of Noah, baby, was marked by the changing of the DNA. I know we don't know when Jesus is coming, but he's fed up with it, and it will not go on forever.
And I can guarantee you this. Your pastor ain't going to talk about it from the pulpit this Sunday or next Sunday or the following Sunday. They are feeding us people. JR's show tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.